Message series at Hope. It's called Living the Story. And the idea is actually pretty simple. I mean, what does it look like to take our lives, the lives we're living on this earth, and connect it to the story of what God has been up to for all of eternity? And that video we just watched is from a church in North Carolina called Elevation Church. In the beginning of August, they had a weekend of worship services. They called it Student Takeover. And they had the high school students in charge of the entire worship service. They put that video together as a way of kind of encouraging young people to live lives of radical faith. Encouraging young people to live lives of radical faith. And I think we kind of all like, yeah, that's a good idea. Young people should be living lives of radical faith. But we're not young people. We're old. Our radical days are behind us, right? And so I just kind of want to say, that's not what we believe at Hope. At Hope, we've got the Bible that guides us, God's Word. We have a mission. We have a vision. We have values for what does it mean to be the church. And we have this vision. It's the 2020 vision, who we think God is asking us to become together as a congregation. And one of the things that is written in this 2020 vision is the idea is for us to become a radical, transformational church with a massive local and global impact. This is who we believe God is creating us to be. And when you look at Hope, at all of the campuses, not just here in Ankeny, but all the campuses around the Des Moines area, when you look at what Hope is doing here locally, when you look at what is happening kind of around the world through partners, mission partners that we have at Hope, you see there's a lot of radical transformational stuff going on. For example, you take a look at what's happening in Ghana, in West Africa, through a partnership we have with a ministry called GlobeServe. There's a pastor there. His name is Pastor Sam Dunya. We've created a relationship with Sam. And you may remember, if you've been around Hope for a while, it was several years ago now during the Lenten season, we had a project called Water for Life, and we asked if you would consider giving money to help dig wells in villages in Ghana where GlobeServe is doing ministry. And so we raised enough money to be able to dig 142 wells. And you just have to understand, when you have access to clean, healthy drinking water in a village in Africa, I mean, that is life-changing. And so we said, we want to take care of this physical need, but the vision is not just physical. It's all-encompassing. It's a spiritual need as well that we want to be taken care of. And so the next year during the Lenten season, we asked you to give to help build churches because we wanted to build churches within visible walking distance of the wells that we dug. You know, water for physical life and then the living water for spiritual life. And so far we've been able to build 116 churches and we're going to build more than that. And then Pastor Sam reports in the time, just a little over a year, that those churches have been built, 8,241 people have come to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of those churches. I mean, you look around here at Hope Ankeny, we're growing like crazy. I mean, we can't believe how much we're growing. We got people standing by the door because they don't have a place to sit. There's a bunch of room right up front if you want to come up front. And we celebrate and we praise God for the growth that's happening here. But it's nothing compared to what God is doing in Ghana. I mean, it is amazing. And so when you add up the people who come to worship at all 116 of those churches every week, it's over 9,000 people worshiping. A radical, transformational church with a massive local and global impact. And we watch a video like we just watched. Young people, we want you to live lives of radical faith, your generation. Here's what I want us to understand. It doesn't matter what generation you are a part of. God is calling us to be these kind of people, to be this kind of a church. Radical, transformational, making an impact in our world in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to read this verse together from Psalm 78. It's up on the screen. Read it out loud with me. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. So it's Rally Weekend. It's the weekend after Labor Day. In the Lutheran world, we call it Rally Weekend. It means summer vacations are over, school has started, football has started, which is good news for some people and who knows for other people. And then, you know, for Hawkeye fans, at least basketball is about to start, right? Or wrestling, maybe wrestling, I don't know. The point is we're kind of back into our normal rhythm, right? Our normal routine throughout the year. We're ready to move into that. And so I just want to say, hi. My name is Pastor Scott. I'm the campus pastor here. If you are new, if you are visiting us to say, we are so glad that you are here. Great big welcome to you. We really have been praying for you, like Tom Hopka said. We don't believe it's an accident that you're here. We're excited about what God has in store for you and for each one of us. And we want to say up front, we're doing things a little different today than we normally do. And so if you want to see how we normally do things, come back next week. It'll be normal, I'm sure. But if you're a kind of a longtime Hope Ankeny person, if you call this your church home, I want to speak directly to you for a little bit. This is an important time this fall at Hope Ankeny. And so I just want to say again, doesn't matter what generation you're a part of, baby boomer or baby buster or Gen X or Gen Y or millennial, doesn't matter. We are all part of the same generation when it comes to Hope Ankeny. We're part of the pioneer generation, the first generation of Hope Ankeny. And this fall, we've got some exciting things that are happening. In a couple of weeks, first weekend of October, we're going to have a congregational meeting, and we will ask you to give us permission to have a giving campaign. And then in November, we'll ask you as individuals and as families to prayerfully be considering what God might be leading you to give as it comes to building a building up on our land up on 36th Street. So it's a real exciting time for us, a real important fall, and it's an important fall not just because of the giving campaign. I mean, this opportunity, this fall is an opportunity for us, just like every fall is an opportunity for us, just like every day, every moment is an opportunity for us to say, am I setting my hope anew on God? And so that's what I want to talk about today. I mean, what does that actually look like in each of our lives? What does it look like for us as a congregation to set our hope anew on God? And maybe the starting place when we ask a question like that, the starting place is this question: what am I setting my hope on now? Because the reality is, this is what the psalm writer is saying, if we're going to set our hope anew on something, that means at some level we've sort of drifted. Our hearts are prone to wander, is what the hymn writer says. You ever experienced that? A kind of wandering heart symptom? And so this is what we're talking about is, throughout life, we have these times where our focus kind of shifts, and so this is just an opportunity for us to say, what's my focus? Am I going to be able to make God the focus of my life? Am I going to be able to make God the hope of my life? And Jesus actually talks about this quite a bit. One of the places he talks about it is the Sermon on the Mount, so open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is Jesus giving some just incredible teaching, some of the greatest teaching on practical wisdom, how to live lives connected to God, living life of faith. And Jesus is talking to the people who kind of gather around him, want to hear what Jesus is going to say and teach, and he's reminding them that we all have this tendency to drift and to set our hope on the wrong kinds of things. And so Jesus talks about it. I'm going to pick up the teaching in verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And then verse 21, Jesus says this: wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So Jesus is taking this idea of setting my hope anew on God. He's just got a little different language for it. He uses the language of treasure, the language of desire, the language of heart. The question Jesus is asking is, who are you giving your heart to? Or what are you giving your heart to? What are you living for? And he starts to set up a contrast here in Matthew 6 that carries through the whole chapter. Am I giving my heart, am I living my life for earthly things, worldly things, or am I giving my life, setting my hope on eternal things, things that last, the things of God? Contrast between these two carries on. In verse 24, Jesus says this: no one can serve two masters. My first job, I was a youth pastor at a church, and at that particular church, they'd had a CE director, Christian education director, for several years, and then they brought me on as the student guy, the youth guy. And so I had this staff person who'd been around forever, and then I had a student ministry team that I kind of reported to, and then I had a senior pastor that I reported to. Sort of felt like I had three bosses. Who am I trying to please? Who do I really report to? Who has the power to hire and fire me? You know, that kind of thing. You ever have a job like that, where you're not sure who your boss is, or where you feel like you actually have more than one boss? It's not a fun way to exist in the workplace, is it? And so we kind of get this idea, no one can serve two masters, but Jesus isn't really talking about our jobs as much as Jesus is talking about our lives. And he just says, the reality is, for many of us, we actually do try to, we make an attempt to serve more than one master in our life. And he just says, you cannot do it. And Jesus says, if you want to know where you are setting your hope, if you want to know where you're storing up treasure, if you want to know what master you are really serving, pay attention to what you worry about. Pay attention to what you worry about. Because right after he says no one can serve two masters, in verse 24, verse 25, he says this: that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Because when we find ourselves worrying about things in life, it's an indication, Jesus is saying, it's an indicator that our hearts are not set on the right place. Our hope is not set on the right place. We're storing up treasures on things that are earthly, worldly, things that do not last, instead of setting our hope on God and things that are eternal. Now, pay close attention. I mean, go home and read through Matthew 6 today if you want to. Jesus isn't really slamming people for worrying. It's not like he's saying there's nothing to worry about. There's all sorts of things for us to be worrying about. And what Jesus is not even so much focused on worry as he is the idea, who are you giving your life to? Who are you giving your heart to? What are you setting your hope on? And what would it look like for you to set your hope anew on God? And again, what does that even mean? What does that look like to set our hope on God? Well, Jesus has an answer for that in Matthew chapter 6. It happens in verse 33, the verse that might be familiar to you. Let's all read this together. It's up on the screen. Read it with me. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So in life, when you find yourself worrying about what am I going to eat, what am I going to wear, worrying about my future, find yourself worrying about your marriage, or your children, worrying about your finances. Here's Jesus in Matthew 6. He doesn't really say, stop worrying. Instead, Jesus says, is worrying getting you what you want? Is worrying actually helping? He says, worry is not a great strategy. Of course, there are things in our lives to worry about. But the strategy when we have things to worry about is not to worry. So Jesus says, instead, start a different strategy. Start seeking the kingdom of God above all else. That there's this life. Do you believe, do you trust, Jesus asked, that there's a God who loves you, a God who created this world, a God who gave you life, and God has a life for you that's not perfect, that's not easy, but you don't have to worry about it. Your call is to live by faith, trusting and believing that God is with you, God is present in whatever circumstance you find yourself going through. And so one of the things Jesus says, you know, don't worry about what you eat. Look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about what to eat. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Look at the wildflowers. Look at the wildflowers. If you were here at Easter this year at Hope Ankeny, one of the things we did was, there's like more people here than there were at Easter. This is crazy. It's so awesome to see all of you here. But we had set up gators, John Deere gators, and wheelbarrows, and we filled them up with dirt. And at one point in the service, we gave you the opportunity to take some wildflower seeds and plant them in the dirt. And we said, when you plant these, think about what you need to die to. And maybe worry was one of the things you needed to die to. And die to that, bury it, and then offer up a prayer. What do you want God to grow in its place? And so we took the dirt, we took the seeds up to our property on 36th Street, and we put the dirt with the seeds in it in front of our sign, and then we hoped that maybe the seeds would grow. And I don't know if you've noticed, it hasn't been the best growing season this summer. Have you noticed that? But But we've got, I mean, you look up on the screen, the flowers grew. Dave Austin, a member here at Hope Ankeny, we've asked him to take a bunch. He loves taking pictures. He's taken pictures of the wildflowers. And I mean, these are the actual flowers that you planted that are growing up. And they didn't, and we were like, should we go water them? What do we do? We didn't water them. They haven't had water for 2 months. And look how beautiful they are, because God provides for them. Don't worry. Trust the way God has set up life to work. And then the design team went out and they picked a bunch of the flowers, and you see them on display up here, you know, just kind of beautifying the worship space. So what would it look like in each of our lives if we could live with that kind of faith? If we're going through a dry season, we can trust that somehow in the midst of that, God is growing something, doing something good in each of us. This past Wednesday night was the Power Life Parent Connect. And as you heard Tom Hopka in the announcements, Power Life is our confirmation ministry. It's our ministry for middle school students. And it begins actually this coming Wednesday at 6:30 at the station. So 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids, parents of 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids, get them there to the station this Wednesday night. It's going to be an awesome time. Ignition High School Ministry, it actually starts tonight. Right next to the station, that new space we're calling the Depot is where the Ignition students are going to meet the high school students, 7 o'clock on Sunday nights. But Wednesday was the Power Life Parent Connect. So it was just the parents in the station, and they were kind of giving us information and teaching us developmentally what's going on with, you know, in hormone land with your middle school students. And it was fascinating to just sit in a room with parents of middle school students. And then at one point, Brent Rao, who's the director of children and student ministry here, he had us get into small groups, and he gave us a handout with some questions he just wanted us to kind of talk through. So I'm sitting in a circle with some people that I know, some people that I don't know very well, but we're all parents of middle school students, and we're just talking about that experience. And you want to know one of the similar things that we all kind of had in common? We worry about our middle school students, what they're wearing, what they're eating, who their friends are, their future. We worry about them. And it was great to just be able to be there and say, confess it, you know, around one another. But here was the other thing we had in common. We all shared a similar hope for our middle school students. And it was just this reminder. Here we are, a new school year, a new year of Power Life, a new opportunity for us as parents to set our hope anew on God and to trust God for the life of our kids. And maybe you're not a parent of middle school students. Maybe you're not a parent at all, but you have the same opportunity this day, this moment. What does it look like in your life to set your hope anew on God? I mean, what are the things that you worry about? What are the things that keep you up at night? What are the things that you put your hope on? Getting the right kind of job, achieving a right kind of salary level, meeting Mr. or Mrs. Wright, looking for them, having the right kinds of kids? What would it look like if we said, okay, Jesus says, don't worry, and instead, he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. It's this reminder of the biblical message throughout, set your hope on God. What if we actually start, I mean, what if we made a conscious decision this year, this fall, this day, as an individual, as families, we're going to do this. We're going to try a new strategy for life. We're going to see if we can believe Jesus when he says to us, there's this thing, the kingdom of God, that God is present with us, not just after we die in heaven, but right now as we're living our life, as we're going through all sorts of things that cause us to worry, God is with us, and we can have a whole different strategy around how we live our lives, a whole new kind of faith around it. What if we made a conscious decision? I'm trying a new strategy this year. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. When I go to work, when I go to school, when I'm in an argument with my spouse, what does it look like to seek the kingdom of God in that moment? Because the truth is, we are prone to wander. We're prone to set our hope on all sorts of things other than setting our hope on God. It's just the human reality. It's not just us in the 21st century. This has been actually going on as long as there have been human beings. And one of the places you see this is during the Exodus. When Moses is leading the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land. God has promised them. God has said, I'm faithful. I'm going to do this for you. They're seeing all sorts of awesome things along the way. Imagine the things that they got to see. They were captives oppressed slaves by the most powerful nation in the world, and God sets them free through a series of miracles. They part the Red Sea. They get manna from heaven to feed them. They get the Ten Commandments. I mean, God's presence is with them in powerful, powerful ways. And yet, here's what God says to Moses. I know you. I know human nature well enough to know you are going to forget about the miracles. And you're going to start to set your hope on other things. You're going to forget about everything that I've done for you. You're going to question, you're going to wonder, is God really with us? Is God really for us? So I want to give you something to help you remember. Something practical, something you can see, always have it with you. And I'm going to pick up the story. This is Numbers 15. I'm starting in verse 37. The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Throughout the generations to come, you must make tassels for the hems of your clothing and attach them with a blue cord. When you see the tassels, you will remember and obey all the commands of the Lord instead of following your own desires and defiling yourselves as you are prone to do. The tassels will help you remember. A blue cord attached to the tassels, the hems of your garment, as a reminder of the goodness of God, of the faithfulness of God, as a reminder to set your hope anew on God, as a reminder not to store up treasures on earth where it's not going to last, it's just going to be destroyed, but to store up treasures in heaven, a reminder that God is with you, that God is for you, that God has a kingdom that he's inviting you to live in that is so good for you. So, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to do things a little different than we normally do. We want to actually give you the opportunity to spend some time reflecting on God's faithfulness in your life and then learning to trust and just saying, Lord, I want to do this. I want to set my hope on you. So we're going to just do some things together. We're going to celebrate communion together. And then when you come forward for communion, we're going to give you a blue cord. And you can do with it whatever you want. You can make a bracelet. Some of us don't like bracelets, so maybe you do something else with it. Tie it around your rearview mirror, whatever. We also have prayer cards up here. It's all written out for you. You don't have to think about anything. You can take it with you. And you can have these things as a reminder throughout your week. That I'm going to set my hope anew on God today in this moment.